From Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all know of your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, I want to start by talking about something I know almost nothing about, which is not unusual for me, and it never stops me. But it occurs to me that over the years, watching children be children, parents be parents, and having now the experience of grandparenthood, that one of the high water marks in parental satisfaction is when your oldest is about 5, or maybe just short of it. When they're mobile and active, they've got a sense of humor, you can tell them a joke and they laugh, they can even tell you a joke. They're developing athletic skill, social skill. You can teach them new things every day, and it's like watching the wonder of newness and new learning be a part of every day. And the best part about being the parent of a 5-year-old, it seems, is that short of the very rare catastrophe, there's virtually nothing that can go wrong in their lives that you can't fix. What a wonderful place to be. What a wonderful person to be for the child, and what a wonderful person for the child to have in his or her life. And seemingly about 9 seconds after the best part of that, you send them off to school. And there they learn the harsh realities of, among other things, playground bullies, standardized tests, and the inevitable competition that comes from opportunities to try out, and the equally inevitable rejection from basketball, drama, cheerleading, what have you. You can't fix those things. You can only bear with them and help them bear up under it. And it's sort of like, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. And that tornado was real. Well, that tornado was pretty real in Iowa this last week. And 4 young children lost their lives, and many more were hurt. And the governor of Iowa was on television numerous times, and each time I saw him giving an update or making a report, he always included a request for prayer. Keep us in your prayers. Pray for us. And I understand all of that, socially and theologically, but there's a small part of me that wanted to say to the governor, what's the point? You know, the horse has pretty much left the barn, especially if you want to talk to the parents of those particular 4. What on earth should we be praying about right now, especially in the wake of this? Well, it's an interesting question. What's the purpose of prayer? What's the relationship that God has with God's people who are in the aftermath of terrible trouble? And what does that have to do with parenthood? We talk about God as our Heavenly Father. There's nothing in our lives that God presumably couldn't fix if God chose to. Why does God choose to let these terrible things happen? Apparently, and for reasons that are not fully clear to me and may never be clear until I have a chance to talk to God face to face, God doesn't seem, as a parent, to micromanage outcomes. God rather chooses to see us through and help us bear up in the process, which changes the nature of, I think, what we are about when we pray. And it goes to something that actually was published by one of my colleagues in the sociology of religion now almost 20 years ago, where they actually surveyed people about their prayer life and asked the question, what types of prayer give you the most satisfaction or seem to be the most helpful to you? And they actually talked about 4 specific types of prayer and were able to link insight about the sorts of benefits you get from praying in these various ways. The one that surprised me the most was what they called petitionary prayer, a petition. That is, having to do with requests to meet specific needs in your life. Dear Lord, help us get this, or make this happen, if you would, in a particular way. Petitionary prayer doesn't have much to do with life satisfaction. This is the type of prayer that's most directly concerned with outcomes, and it doesn't seem to help us feel better about our overall life. There may be other benefits, and it doesn't seem to hurt anything. But the research suggests that asking for particular things is not as satisfying as other types of prayer. For example, ritual prayer. Reciting prayers that we've memorized. How often do you read from books of prayers, the researchers asked? How often do you recite prayers that you've memorized? The Lord's Prayer, the 23rd Psalm, things like that. Well, it turns out that ritual prayer helps people who are sad and lonely and tense and fearful feel less so. And it's always been intriguing to me that when doing worship services of sorts in nursing homes, where people are in many ways only about half with you, that the recitation of the Lord's Prayer, or the 23rd Psalm, seems to bring them back for just a moment. It's like an anchor to time gone past, where they've drawn strength from the repetitive, constant power of ritual prayer. The other two that are even more intriguing to me, though, however, have nothing to do with outcomes or even changing the way things happen in the moment. Meditative prayer has to do with just feeling or being in the presence of God, spending time quietly thinking about God, reflecting on the Bible, asking God to speak, and then quietly listening. Meditative prayer seems to make people's religious life more satisfying. Most intriguing of all to me is what the researchers call colloquial prayer, that is, having conversations with God. Asking God to provide guidance in making decisions, thanking God for blessings, talking about forgiveness, having a conversation with God in your own words, or conversing with God about the suffering in the world. Colloquial prayer is the one that seems to provide the greatest benefit in terms of life satisfaction, producing some level of serenity or even happiness in the aftermath. Colloquial conversational prayer. It's no wonder we all love the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Take it to the Lord in prayer conversationally. An example of where and when a colloquial prayer might be offered, well, I'm presuming we've all been through moments like this, maybe many, where you've been asleep for about an hour and then you're awake for three. Stewing about this, wondering about that. And things go bump in the night a little harder before day breaks, doesn't it? Or maybe you don't even get the hour of sleep. You just lay there for 2, 3, or 4 hours. A good time for conversation. Conversation that has nothing to do with make this better or change this into something, but rather, this is what I'm experiencing now, O Lord. And that's it. Maybe most profoundly, a colloquial prayer over things you're experiencing now that are completely and entirely of your own making. You get this idea from talking to people over the years that, well, I'm not sure I want to talk to God about that, because if God knew, God might punish me. Wait a minute, if God knew, wait a second. Prayer to God about anything is not telling God something God doesn't already know. But those conversations that are the hardest, before you have them, they're kind of the gap between you and God. And once the conversation ensues, they become the bridge. As might the best of parenting, God chooses not to micromanage outcomes, but to be with us in the process. To be with us to listen, to be with us to help the conversation, help us sort it out, and maybe even to provide a direct answer to the prayer. If I can presume to talk about parenting, about which I know very little, I'm going to presume at the end to talk about what God might say or the answer God might give to a colloquial or conversational prayer. It seems to me that, as might any best friend, as might any good parent, the best of best friend or the best of parent personified in the God to whom we direct our prayers, might at the end of the day say nothing more in response to the conversation than this: I know all about it. I'm still here. I know all about it. I'm still here. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And with prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God, who knows all about it, and who never leaves, and if only through the conversation, brings us the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And may our prayer life bring us that peace. Amen.